rise and join us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good morning. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
We have an agenda. Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Friday is the last day that if anybody wants to vote absentee and have the ballot mailed to them for the Danville School Special Election, Friday is that last day at 5 p.m. And so we're just still plugging along and keeping busy.
Thank you, Terry. Colin Durst, IT.
Doing really well. Keeping busy like always. Finished up with our project there last week for third floor court. Pretty happy with it. Everything turned out pretty well. We did some training with the judges and the admin staff there on August Friday last week. They seemed pretty excited about it. You know, probably gonna be a little bit of a learning curve, but I think they've got the grasp of it, and we're pretty excited to get using it today. So other than that, nothing to report.
Okay, well, thank you for that. Thank maintenance. I know that they helped you a lot with that.
They did.
I had the opportunity to go up and see that. That's going to be quite an improvement up there in that third floor courtroom. So
I think it should make showing evidence and the attorney's time in there a lot easier. So
I could see Lisa smiling through her mask. Anyway, thank you in maintenance. I know how hard you worked on that, and a couple of the difficulties you encountered and overcame. So yeah. Thank you again. Thanks to your staff. Brian Carter, Secondary Roads.
Good morning. I guess I sent you guys some pictures. They set the first five beams, the south span, last week. We're supposed to set more yesterday, I would assume, that the weather, if not the temperatures, chased off. Probably, bluntly, not the crew. It was probably the delivery service, if I had to guess. I know they gelled up a truck last week, and that was a warmer day than yesterday was. So, but either way, some point, I don't know if it'll be today, we hadn't heard yet, or this week, at some point they'll get back to setting beams. So the next one is, from what I understand, is going to be the big ones, the middle span. Tom, you had asked, so I'll let you guys know when those are going to happen. Who knows, they'll let us know, and we'll probably won't get much notice, but I'll pass it on. And of course, the rest of the theme is snow and wind and winter weather. I think it's safe to say that people's patience have ran out, but yeah. Unfortunately, winter hasn't. I can't say enough about the guys, I guess. All the credit to them. They have put in long hours. Of course, yesterday was supposed to be a day off, but that didn't work out. And so it's just been grinding, that's the best way to put it. Frustrating because you plow through a road and 10 hours later it's plugged. I mean, and bluntly, when you've got 50 to 70 miles of road to cover, that road's going to sit plugged for a day or two until you can get back through it. And it's just the nature of it, especially on our gravels. Our pavements actually haven't been, I think this morning was probably the truest of kind of winter driving conditions, because that snowfall didn't end until 10 or 11 o'clock last night. So it sat there through the night. We got far more than they had forecasted. We got at least 3 to 4 inches. So trucks are back out. We are down some equipment. We're down two trucks. Should have one back up and going. So we should back up to basically full on trucks this morning when the mechanic gets a chance to throw the part on. We lost a motor grader this weekend, and that'll be a major repair. So
engine?
No, something major in the rear end. We lost, those had the duals on the back, and we lost half, 5 years ago or so, under warranty, it shucked the other half, and they didn't do both halves, and so obviously they're coming back to do the other side. So the guys are up getting that onto a low boy. We had Fi come because our low boy's been sitting buried in snow and ice for the entire winter. And bluntly, we don't have a body to be in the truck. So we're getting that loaded up. We'll probably haul it to Yarmouth. That double bay shop in Yarmouth's really paid off. So we'll put it in there, thaw it out, and wait for the cat mechanic to come and tear it apart. But on the flip side, and you know, a lot of credit to the board for letting me do it, this would be the first year where we've had what I would call a truly reliable spare machine. And it's been ran pretty consistently all year long, and this would be the first major thing we've had, but there's been, all these new machines have a lot of sensors, and when a sensor quits working, it messes other things up. So fortunately, the guy that was driving it, his machine got fixed Monday, so he jumped into his machine, and the spare is now going to the other district, so he'll be able to keep moving. And being as it's the same, they're all matches to each other, he'll be able to run his V plow on the front and just keep on going. So we've been fortunate that way. But yeah, there are folks on the gravels that are, we had four voicemails on Sunday or Monday, I don't remember which day it was, so just listened to them this morning, from the same person throughout the day. Well, the blade guy had been there 2 days before, but every time you turn around, the north wind filled it back in, of course. So, and then the snow last night. So it's kind of been a repeating thing. So thanks to the guys, it is their job. I think everybody knows that, but it gets real old and you're just staring at white as far as you can see, especially, like I said, the blade guys. So, so they're still working. They did awesome work on Monday. I mean, we had a hole punched through nearly everything by Monday afternoon and walked away, and pretty much all that was for naught by the time they woke up this morning. So
I heard they spent most of their time over at Brokers and Carries, but whatever.
Yeah, we went that
they
right
should have
down
been there early this morning so they could scoop out the last little bit of snow.
Right down to the pavement. We make sure we blaze those clear.
Are you talking about my driveway?
We'll be there this afternoon.
Brian, I think the road's real good. The other day, let's see, what was it like? Anyway, I followed the county truck into Danville on Old Highway 34. Mm-hmm. He was putting down the sand and that, and it was windy. And you just see that blowing right off the road.
Yep.
It's not staying on the road. That wind's blowing that off as fast as you're putting it down.
Well, I had an email to that effect where the guy's mad about Danville Road, Mediapolis Road. One of his comments was he met a truck and he was wasting tax dollars because he had his plow up and he wasn't even putting sand down. Well, you get on the Mediapolis from Danville Road, and with the wind blowing, you're wasting money putting sand down just like, yeah, you described. And so we don't spread every foot of every road all the time. I mean, the guys do a great job. That's one of the reasons they stay in their territory, is because they know the road, they know the weather, they know how it's going to happen. And the north is completely different than the south. They know where the power lines are. That's something people don't think about, and stuff like that. And so they do. They have to actively manage. Sometimes it changes hour by hour, so they do a good job of it. And so we'll keep on going. I see they've got snow in for Wednesday and something in possibly next weekend, so the overtime's racking up. But
how are you coming on overtime? What's it looking like right
now? We're actually in the middle of doing that analysis. I mean, we're going to be okay. We have carryover funds if we need to move money around, so I'm not worried about the big picture, but we are looking at that to see if I need to maybe eventually do a budget amendment to move some money from something into salary.
Okay.
So that's actually being done as we speak. So salt-wise, we're good. Of course, we did spend money on overtime in November and December because we had ice. I mean, so yeah, we were still grinding, but we didn't actually go through that much material in those stretches. So salt-wise, I don't think we've used quite half of what we have stored. Now, we store a lot. I mean, I know there's a number of other counties and cities going and finding salt. That's not an issue for us, and that's intentional.
And we still had a bunch left over from last year, correct?
We did. We had over half of what we did, and then we fill up every summer. We don't ever go into a winter down, so I fill our entire storage, and I think we spent $120,000 last summer, and we just fill it right back up. So it's just not worth the gamble when you get to a winter like this. So I think the biggest thing is we just had so many back-to-backs that they were trying to, we're gonna hire some contract trucks to haul sand, bluntly, today, because we just haven't had time to split our trucks off to go haul the sand and do the mixing. So they're gonna try to get mixed up before the Wednesday storm because we were starting to run out of mix, but salt-wise, we're fine. So I don't know, it's turned into a expensive pain in the butt winter, but we'll just keep grinding, that's what the guys do. So
you might want to put an extra lawn chair in here in case Broker forgets in and they put that beam down.
Yeah, I noted that. So
get one with a seat heater.
Yeah, one of those Milwaukee heaters.
I thought he was a little tougher than I am.
Wheels back up to where the exhaust from the vehicle is blowing on the chair, and that'll warm it up. But so anyway, thanks to the guys. I mentioned this weekend on the radio a couple times. They've pushed it long and pushed it hard, and they're still, and right now the end's not really in sight at the moment. So we'll just keep on going. If you guys get calls, which you probably will, we had a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls this morning. Certainly send them our way to the office, and like I said, the guys will keep covering ground. It'll probably be into tomorrow before we've hit every road again, since sometime early in the weekend or whatever it was. So,
you know, people are going to have to remember they live in Iowa. We have four seasons, and this is the fourth season of it. The other time, it's all good. You can't have it your way all the time.
The other thing I've noticed is, I mean, this is the biggest and probably worst winter we've had since 07 is probably what I would say. That was a very similar winter to this. We might be colder this year than 07 was. But that's pushing, 12 years? There's a lot of people that have moved out to the rural areas that weren't there 12 or 13 years ago. And this has been an uncomfortable learning curve for people. You know, people call and throw out the word taxes, and that's the first thought they have. But I told somebody just this morning that they should be happy we don't plow roads based on what you pay for taxes. We plow roads just based on covered
right on.
We covered ground, I don't blame people for being frustrated, but unfortunately right now they're just gonna have to bide some time, and we'll get as fast as we can.
I'm getting a lot of phone calls about rows being left and gravel being taken out, you know, and that when the drivers go by that they're not taking their time to make sure to clean out.
Oh, the driveways?
And I thought that was just a city complaint. I didn't know that they complained like that in the county as much, but I got some of those, and it's like, Twitter, they've got to cover a lot of ground. You expect them to, pull out, back away, scoop back, it's just not, it's not possible. Only not, Brokers and carries, but I mean, it's
yeah, not. I mean, those, but we send dedicated personnel that direction. That actually came up years ago, and somebody came to the board meeting and brought that exact, thought that we should do that. And I guess the example or the reason I gave or whatever you want to call it is if you start looking at the number of driveways per territory, and just assume it takes a minimum of 5 minutes for the guy to, and that's probably being generous, and you need to multiply it times driveways, then you should go ask the person that was last in that particular cycle whether they wanted to wait for that time period. And it didn't sound very enticing when you started to put actual time to the effort. Nobody really wants to wait any longer. They're not thrilled they're waiting already. So, but anyway, I think in general for everything we've had, bluntly, I'd have to say things have gone well, but that doesn't mean that, doesn't mean that everything's hit all the time. So that does lead to that frustration. So Anyway, thanks to the guys, and we'll just keep on moving. That's
you guys are all clapping.
The only choice we get, so.
Last week you mentioned that House File 32 about regulating the use of salt on city and county roads. I called Representative Kirk. He got back to me the next morning that bill's not going anywhere.
And I appreciate you doing that. I haven't had time to send that email, so I appreciate it. I still will probably send my communication, but thank you for making that call, and that doesn't hurt my feelings, especially,
I implied that we were against that.
What an interesting argument to make in the middle of a winter like this. But thank you. Appreciate that. And I do have a work session, so it's obviously, as you can see, a bunch of stuff kind of came through in the last week or so that I just want you guys to see. It won't take terribly long. I just want you to be familiar with it.
While we're there, we were talking about changes to the tentative agenda, and I didn't take care of it here. We've canceled that first work session regarding the generator at the jail. Maintenance doesn't have the quotes aren't in yet, so we'll put that off. Jared Lasser of Land Use.
Morning. We got moving through several minor subdivisions here. We got one on the agenda today. Also, one other agenda item as well, and then we'll have one ready to go in a couple of weeks. Apart from that, just keeping busy. We're going to be starting to regroup here to finish reviewing the ordinance update, and hopefully get something on the schedule to have our formal review with the zoning commission here soon, so we can keep moving forward on that process. Apart from that, I don't have anything else.
Thank you, Jared. Sheriff Glenn Denny.
Good morning. Things are going really well at the sheriff's office. We're moving through a hiring process, narrowed it down to some really good candidates for the two open spots we have. So in the coming weeks or months, we'll move through that and hopefully have some candidates for you to get on the payroll. At the jail, everything's going really well. They're up to 84. They're waiting on some spots at the halfway house. I think four spots at the halfway house at a residential facility, and then one to Oakdale. Right now, I think 14 are out of county.
Okay. I see you were interviewed in the paper. This is your chance to talk to Bob if he misquoted you on anything.
I've sent several emails about the misquotes. I thought Bob did a great job. I'm so far.
Is that what you said when you called me, Kevin? But anyway,
he's been very fair.
It was a good article. It was a good article.
I must have written about you before, because I haven't written about them yet.
Thank you, Robert.
I think that's a great next piece.
Thank you, Sheriff. Ken Heinemann, Director of Community Services.
Good morning. We had our regional meetings last week, and we talked about, one thing we talked about was crisis assessment. We had an RFP out for somebody to do the assessments for all eight counties, which would be new for us. We've got different assessors in different counties right now. And so regional planning helped us with that RFP, and they reported back that they have a low bidder, so that was Optime was the lowest bidder for that RFP. So we'll be moving forward with that. We had another bid from Des Moines area company, Integrated Telehealth Partners, I think ITP. And they also had a good bid, but not Optime had the best. So Optime does some of our assessments already, so it would be a matter of them doing more of the assessments, all the assessments throughout the eight counties. So we'll be moving in that direction. We also had some good discussion about the mobile crisis program, which is not in Des Moines County yet. It's in four other counties in our region, and just how we can market that better, and a lot of questions about
concerns
that.
Concerns about some of the performance?
Yeah, some of the getting the word out, and they're supposed to, under Chapter 24, they're supposed to go and actually go to the person. Mobile crisis is getting to that person that's in crisis. But lately, they've been doing it through phone calls, you know, because of COVID. And so some of those concerns.
Not particularly successfully.
Yeah, so we're going to have a meeting with them about that. So that's one of the things that came up. So, yeah, that's just a couple of things I could report on. But overall, everything's going good. We're going to start contracting March through June. So with all these new services and everything, you know, I've got it on the agenda for the next management team meeting on Thursday to start talking about, okay, what do we want in those contracts before we ever get to the meeting? So I've got the whole list of what our current contracts are and what do we need to move towards with all these, you know, new services, and what things need to come off the contracts and what things need to come on. So lots more discussions.
Thanks, Ken. Lisa Schaefer, Des Moines County Attorney.
I'm going to piggyback a little bit off of Colin. Our new system is up and running upstairs on the third floor. In fact, Chris is trying it out today because felony jury trials start today. He has a disarming a peace officer case that's beginning this morning, as about 20 minutes ago. We anticipate there will be a misdemeanor trial next week. We'll have about 3 weeks of every month devoted to jury trials. Two for misdemeanors. We have two seated judges in associate court. So 1 week, Judge Dean will have a trial. Next week would be the district court trial. And the week after that would be Judge Bailey's trial. So we'll be utilizing the courtroom. We went and tested it out Friday afternoon. It's really incredible. It's a great system. I know Leia from the Hawkeye, who sometimes comes and watches our trials, is very excited to actually be able to watch and hear and see everything that's happening.
And you checked it all out? I mean, you got a chance to...
Yeah, we played a couple body cam videos. Basically, it consists of a pull-down screen like you have behind you, and then there's a laser projector that will actually hook up to our computers. So it sits right across from what was once the jury box. Now it's actually where the witness sits. And then we have two 75-inch HDTVs that are mounted on each side of the wall. That's
right,
swivel brackets. So we can actually turn those back to the jury, because now the jury sits socially distanced in the gallery in those comfortable chairs. And so now everybody gets to see. So whatever's on the main screen will be on those screens as well. There are 18 speakers that run the gamut of the courtroom from front to back. Actually, you can actually hear a little bit better in the back than you can in the front when you're listening to a video. And then the judge has the ability to control everyone's individual mic. So someone like me, who screams for the most part when they talk, obviously they'll know whoever my mic is assigned is to turn it down.
Turn Lisa down. She's going to start screaming.
Yeah. They all know me. But we have some attorneys that are very soft-spoken. But the judge doesn't just do a general control volume. They can actually control each person's microphone. And it's just on a little tablet on the bench. I mean, it's swag. I was very, very impressed. It is exactly what we wanted, exactly what we hoped to accomplish. We knew we needed it before COVID, and then with COVID and all of the protocols that the Supreme Court has imposed, it was a necessity. We had to have it. A bulk of our evidence that we put on anymore is body cam videos, dash cam videos, and surveillance videos. And it was making the few trials that we did do extremely time consuming, because literally what we would have to do is, if we had a 15-minute video, we played it and we would bring four jurors up so they could socially distance and watch it.
Oh, wow.
And then they would get to take their break, and then we bring the next four jurors up so they could socially distance. This should speed up the process. We only have to play things once. Another advantage that it will have is we actually purchased a computer for the courtroom that will have nothing on it except the exhibits that are entered into evidence at that trial. And so before, whenever a jury wanted to, well, you know, we'd like to watch the defendant's interview video again, we would all have to amass in the courtroom, we'd have to set everything back up and watch it again. Or if they wanted to see a document, for instance, because we cannot do paper exhibits anymore, we would have to come back in and put it back on the screen for them. Now we have the ability with the court attendant, because they do their jury deliberations in the courtroom. Basically, we all have to leave and the jury stays where they're at. Now they'll have the ability to just turn on the computer, and if they decide they, as a group, want to watch a video again, they can do it, and we don't have to wait 15, 20 minutes for everybody to come back in the room so we can replay it. It's going to speed up the process immensely. I know the judges are really, really looking forward to it, and just the efficiency of it, for just how we do trials in general, let alone with COVID. So we're very, very excited about it. Great thanks go out to maintenance and IT. You know, we had a couple of instances where we got a little shaky. We weren't sure we were going to get everything done when we needed to get it done, but they did a wonderful job. They worked really, really hard on getting it done, getting it in, making sure we all knew what to do with it. So I just the deepest thanks to them, because it couldn't have happened without them. From the beginning, when Colin was working with vendors to get the quotes to make sure that we could get the best possible system, and working us through the grant process, because remember, this is actually a CARES, it has a special name, but it's a CARES type grant, so the county's not paying for it. But just working through all of it, and making it very clear to us on Friday the things we could and could not touch. he was very clear, I don't want anyone to touch any of this. But yeah, it'll be great. It'll also free up our victim witness coordinators. It will make the courtroom less crowded, where normally we would have to haul in a laptop with our projector on this little cart that was always in the way. We had cords everywhere. Now everything, for the most part, except for where you plug in your computer, everything's wireless. And those wires are pretty much confined to where the tables and people are sitting. So it's just freeing up a lot of space in the courtroom as well. But now our victim coordinators don't have to come in a half an hour before we get started, so they can set everything up and make sure it works. It'll just be flipping a few buttons, and then they can actually concentrate on the things that they want to be doing, which is making sure the victims and the witnesses are where they need to be. So again, great kudos to them. I also want to thank Rodney, who came in on his day off yesterday, because our office was actually open. We have a weird system with the county attorney's office, because when the states are closed on Martin Luther King Day, we pretty much let everybody take their holiday on that day, so everybody can work on President's Day because the courts are actually open. It's just weird. We have to kind of abide by their schedule, not the other way around. But he was in there bright and early at 7:30 yesterday, clearing off our sidewalks and making sure we could get into the building. So we appreciate that. This week, I'm actually doing a law enforcement training with the Burlington Police Department for their in-service. We're going to be talking about report writing and testifying. They have a bunch of new officers, and my understanding is they don't cover enough of that in the academy, so they would like to do that now in their in-service training. So. Keeping busy. I'm glad to see jury trials are up, glad to see the systems up, and then maybe somewhere we'll get into a more steady routine of life, I hope.
Is it your fault that I got a summons for jury duty?
No, that would be the court's fault. You can blame Jackie Myers and the computer. It's actually the computer. We get that every once in a while. Why did you call me? We don't have anything to do with that.
Have you ever gotten one of those?
I have never.
You better knock hard.
I have the feeling I would likely be excused pretty quickly. So, but you know, I've never. Yeah, basically, how that system works is they have a bunch of lists. They're all thrown into the computer, and the computer just every week generates a new list. Because we've had people who've been called like 3 times in 2 years. And then I've never, ever in my 50 years been called for jury duty.
The last time I was called, I mentioned that I'm in meetings with the county attorney every week, and they let me go. They didn't want me.
I'll be right till I'm going to see Lisa Schaefer like this. They're going to be like, no. We're friends with Lisa. No. She doesn't like you. They would make me do it.
Yeah, I've had best friends' children. We've had a lot of officers, spouses, family, officers. The difference is how you get excused. For instance, if just because Kevin Glendening gets called for jury duty, that's a Burlington case that he has, he's not automatically excused. So he still has to sit there. That's not an excuse for cause, so he'll have to sit there. And then more likely than not would be a peremptory strike by the defense. But yeah, so Even getting kicked off is hard. But with Ken, it would be a professional relationship between the offices. So
they just ask me questions and I answer them. And
That falls within the rules if you have a professional relationship with one of the attorneys. So.
What would you do if somebody walked in and said, I think he's guilty?
Oh, we have people do that a lot.
Do you?
It's a good way to get yourself removed from a jury.
Is it?
It is.
Do people come in right off the giddy up and say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The best one I had is I have friends who are police officers. I know the time and effort they put into their investigations. If he's sitting there, he's obviously guilty.
I appreciate that.
Generally, the defense attorney pipes up and says, yeah, we're going to ask for that they be struck for cause. Their mind is already made up.
Before we get away from the audiovisual system and credit for that, the county attorney deserves a little credit. She didn't allow herself. She mentioned it was paid for mostly or all through a CARES grant. But originally, she was the one that brought it to the board in her budget, I believe it was a year ago, that and she was going to pay it out of the county attorney's office has uncollected fines and fees that they get a small percentage out of that is under the control of the county attorney's office, and they use as they see fit for what expenses. She came to the board during her budget hearing. She said, I put money in here, she said, out of that fund for that audiovisual equipment. And I think maybe end up costing a little more than you thought, but then the CARES Act came through.
Yeah, I think what we originally budgeted was what, because Colin and I had talked about it, is kind of what we thought we needed. It was really going to be concentrating on that front part of the courtroom where the major players are. And then when COVID hit and we realized we're going to have to make sure this whole room is equipped, it went way outside of our budget.
But you're the one that set us on that road, so that we were already on the path.
Yes.
Of getting that done when this happened.
It was
so,
in our vision.
So if you won't take any credit for it, I'm going to give you some, so thank you.
And the advantages, one of the advantages we have for getting the grant to do the third floor courtroom is the Justice Department actually has money set aside for each of the county's courtrooms. And so Judge Brown is going to be able to use the money coming from Des Moines through their grant to actually outfit the first floor courtroom that we use when, under normal circumstances, we use for misdemeanor trials. But it will also give us the ability to start doing some more in-person hearings because we don't have to have all bodies actually in the courtroom. The plan is to set something up. So, for instance, if it's a child in need of assistance, sometimes you can get 25, 30 people involved in one of those, depending on the children and the number of parents and foster parents and guardians. This will give the ability for people to be doing hearings in the courtroom where some people can be appearing remotely. So that, I think, is going to be what they're going to be using their funds for. So we'll be able to have both courtrooms outfitted, so they should be able to meet our needs pretty nicely.
Thank you, Lisa. Krista Pogemiller, Public Health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy between vaccination clinics and case investigations. We had another vaccination clinic on Saturday. I really want to thank everyone from Great River Health Systems, Emergency Management, all the great volunteers that we had, and public health staff. They worked tirelessly on Saturday. We gave 1,100 vaccines. We really wanted to do another clinic this week. However, due to the weather down south, it looks like that some of our vaccine deliveries might be delayed, so we're kind of holding off to see if we do get vaccine, because obviously we're not stockpiling any vaccine. As quickly as we receive it, we get a clinic going and get that vaccination.
Can you say that again, please?
Which part of that?
About we're not stockpiling. Can you say
we are not stockpiling any vaccine. We are giving that as quickly as we receive it. So we can't even schedule our vaccine clinic that we are planning for this week until we get more vaccine. And with that weather delay, as soon as we have a estimated time of delivery for the vaccine, we'll get the next vaccination clinic scheduled. We have less than 2,500 people left on that wait list. And that was well over 4,000 and something. So we're definitely putting a dent into that. So Let's see, we currently have given, our county has given 6,450 vaccines, with 6,000 recipient residents of Des Moines County having received the vaccine. So it's exciting. Our case numbers are down for the last 7 days. The rolling 7 days percentage is 6%. We've had 68 cases. 14 days, we're at 8% with 105 cases. And year to date, we've had 4,161 cases. So definitely commend people for continuing the mitigation strategies. I mean, it's important along with the vaccination clinics that people continue to social distance, wear their mask, stay home when they're sick. And we're headed in the right direction, and I'm excited about that.
I want to thank you for, there were three people that had emailed me, and they were on the list, and they were really, really concerned. We'll make that four, but two were a couple husband and wife. But anyways, they all received their shots, and tickled about that, you know, that they're starting to see some movement. So people were getting a little freaked out because they just didn't know what to expect, but it's good to see we're getting that movement going. Thanks for your hard work.
Thank you.
Chris and I went and had coffee with the guys Monday. Yesterday, and three of them was down to your clinic, and they said that is the smoothest thing that they have ever seen for a crowd getting in. And they was wondering, asking me how many they give. I'm glad that you said you give what over. I wrote it down here, 1,100. And I said, well, I know the first clinic they had, they give over 500, 100 an hour when they had to shut down. But they told me to personally thank you for setting it up like that. And I think we owe Mr. Bob over there a thank you for going down and helping.
Well, I might mention, I don't know about Bob, I'm not going that far, but...
I appreciate that. You carried away here.
My mom, I took my mom down Saturday late afternoon to, in Miami, I guess, to get their vaccination. They said it was amazingly smooth for a number, and the parking lot was clear full. And I thought I had 45 minutes to run somewhere, and you messed up my schedule because I didn't any more than get there than they texted and said they'd be ready in 15 minutes. So yep. So they said it was very well ran. They were impressed.
Good.
So
thank
credit
you.
To you and all the volunteers and right your on. Staff and everything.
Thank you.
CP, you go.
Thank you, Krista. Thank you, Krista. Anybody online?
I have one on here. It's Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Janelle Nally Longquist, Des Moines County Treasurer.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have nothing new to report. We just continue to be busy.
Thanks, Janelle.
You're welcome.
Don't miss anybody. Correspondence. Either of you gentlemen have any correspondence?
I have none.
Proceed to discussion and vote. We have accounts payable in the amount of $855,134.66.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes.
We have payroll reimbursement claims in the amount of $125.
I move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes.
We have a resolution and final plat for Steiner's Ridge subdivision. This would be you, Jared.
Yep. It's a one lot minor subdivision in Benton Township off of Irish Ridge Road. Just north of Stony Hollow Road. As it turns out, they originally wanted to call this the Stone Ridge subdivision, but there's one just to the south called Stony Ridge, so we suggested, for the sake of lack of future confusion, we changed that. Although it's funny that his last name ends up being somewhat similar as well. It appears that, I guess I didn't realize this initially, but the whole Stone Ridge phenomenon appears to simply be due to the fact that you got Stony Hollow and Irish Ridge intersecting there. That's a popular name. So it's a 7-acre lot being split off of a existing 24-acre property, which has an existing house closer to the intersection. It's intended that this additional lot be for a nephew of the current property owner to build a house. at the north end of the property. So pretty simple one lot minor subdivision here. In terms of comments received from secondary roads, noting that there is an entrance at the northeast corner, and any additional entrances will need to go through the permitting process. I'm not exactly sure if they want to use that existing entrance or not, or if they replace it or have a second one, but they are aware that they would need to get that permit before installing that. And then also from Health Department, that a septic permit is not yet on file. They're aware of that as well, but it's standard practice. We put a condition on the resolution that they get that permit before they build the house and have it installed before the house is occupied. So that's all I have. I recommend approval of that Steiner Ridge subdivision.
Move to approve the Steiner subdivision.
I second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. We have an appointment to the Des Moines County Zoning Board of Adjustment.
Technically, it's a reappointment. This is Sam Warner has been on the board since, I believe, around 2010. And this is simply due to the fact that his current term expired at the end of 2020. That was the only position on the Board of Adjustment that expired at the end of that year. So it's we asked him if he'd be interested in committing to another term, and he agreed to it. He's been on there for a while now, but seems like it's... He actually mentioned he is our current chairman, so we appreciate the fact that he's willing to serve another term.
Right on. I move to approve.
Second. I thought when you moved to approve.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. Personnel actions. There were personnel action for the auditor's office. We have Kathy Hausman, a clerk two, an 18-month step increase. The previous rate was $31,817.25. The new rate is $32,937.50.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. Has anybody noticed how much more relaxed it is in the auditor's office now that we're a full-time payroll deputy? Just giving you a hard time, Terry.
Oh, that's fine. We are more relaxed now.
We have two personnel actions for the correctional center. We have Alexander Elliott, part-time cook resignation, and Cody Reynolds, a full-time correctional officer with unpaid time for February 4th of 3 hours, and unpaid time for February 5th through the 8th of 33 hours.
I move to approve that we accept these personnel actions.
Second.
Terry.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes. And we have a personnel action for emergency management. Cindy Bowen, volunteer coordinator. Step increase effective February 27th, 2021. Previous rate was $13.76 an hour. The new rate is $14.26 an hour.
Move to Move to approve.
Second.
Carry.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Jim Carey? Carey? Yeah, whatever your name is.
Hey, you.
One of you guys.
Hey, you in front of me. Tom Broeker?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mrs. Broeker does that. She keeps calling me the dog's name. It wouldn't be so bad. But he died about a year and a half ago. So I'm not sure how that works out.
It's not a good sign.
Okay. We have the Sheriff's Monthly Report for January 2021. This report will be on file and available for public review at the Auditor's Office. We have minutes for the regular meeting of February 9th.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Broeker.
Yes.
Any other business? Future agenda items, other than to reschedule that work session with maintenance and the.
Yeah, I think Rodney said that they expect some quotes this week, so.
Okay, good. Committee reports.
Well, I had a press meeting, and everything went pretty well with it. We've got some updates coming, but I can't talk about it until next week or two. But things look good for us. So we thought we might anticipate a price increase for the counties, but it's going to stay the same, which is that's great news.
Attaboy.
Yeah. And then we had a public health meeting with Krista, and she updated you on everything out there, except did you mention that we hired, or they didn't hire, they brought Max Turner on board. We voted.
Max?
Mac.
Okay, and I know.
Yeah.
Max. Mac.
Be the principal.
M-A-C. Yeah, I know Mac. I said Max at first, yeah.
Yeah, I probably did.
Nope.
That's that Missouri speech I inherited, you know.
Missouri.
But anyway. It's good to have him on the board, yeah. So it's going to be good for us. And then, of course, we had our auditor for the assessor's
board,
conference board meeting. It's pretty long this time, but that's it.
Give a quick shout out for Bridges Out of Poverty. We had a meeting with them. They were have some new things that they're trying to work on to try to build the groups and have the people come back that have graduated from it to try to encourage the new members and stuff. The same problems everybody else has with COVID, but good meeting, you know, good board. They're trying to do some good things. So
good. Item number, we had a Zoom meeting with some judges, the county attorney, and jail, law enforcement, and mental health staff regarding the dual diagnosis services we discussed here in a work session a couple weeks ago offered by Rivercross, and I'm hopeful some opportunities or something will come of that to some different options for people that need those services. And a Zoom meeting with Farm Bureau with some questions regarding the county budget, services, and roads. The public hearing for the conference board approved the fiscal 22 budget. The public hearing for the emergency management for the fiscal 22 budget Des Moines County 911 Board did the, approved the budget, had a public hearing, and approved, is there a repeater for the Mediapolis schools, I believe, and some repair, I believe, on the Danville Tower?
Yes.
Some expenditures.
Just basically to improve the communication. There's just some issues with our radio signal in those areas, and we just want to make sure we have good signal in the schools and our important areas where we have cluster of people in law enforcement, so.
That was my first 911 meeting. You will be shocked to know that all that radio talk was zipping over my head. I have no idea.
I am in the same boat as you. When they get into the megahertz and all that stuff, I am lost. But I know when the radios don't work, so I'm kind of, I try to bring it to their attention. Bring it to their attention and try to get them to pay for it, which they've been good about.
Thank you, Kevin. And the Stakeholder Advisory and Governance Board for the Southeast Iowa Link. We approved claims and exceptions to policy and statements of understanding with individual counties, which I imagine will be coming through maybe next week for approval by this board.
Yeah, the CO board was supposed to sign up and then send them to us. So.
And we discussed, like you said, the mobile crisis. And I was invited. They invited some people to listen to Governor a little bit. We got a chance to ask questions, so I did get a chance to mention that we were struggling with workforce issues and that Medicaid reimbursement rates wouldn't hurt to goose those a little bit. She said that DHS and Kelly Garcia is examining those. So anyway, that's all I have. Public input. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, since we have limited seating, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com, or that's board@dmcounty.com, or call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We will give you 2 minutes to initiate that call or email. Any comments here?
I have an online question from Laura Cochran on the live stream. I don't know how you want me to handle that. If you want me to just
read it, or
she asked, Krista, when do you expect to move to the next tier in this phase?
So right now we're on phase 1B, tier 1, and we're at the point that we have finished all the schools. Well, obviously they'll have booster doses yet, but then the next part of that tier one under phase 1B is child care providers. We're hoping to really start focusing on those in the next week or so, and then we will be at the point that we'll be ready to move into tier two under phase 1B.
Thank you, Krista. Mm-hmm. Anybody? Robert.
I just want to add to what everybody else has been saying about Krista's crew. Having spent 9 hours volunteering Saturday, you guys do a great job. I mean, nobody had to wait. None of the intern people got dumped in the snow or on the sidewalk, you know, in wheelchairs and stuff. And if you want to feel good about what's been going on the last 9 or 10 months, go down there and spend just an hour with the people that are coming in and getting vaccinated, because everybody is happy. And I haven't seen that for a year. So thank you. You're doing a great job with that.
Thank you. Well, and thank you to you for volunteering and all those people that, you know, it's the volunteers, it's the hospital, emergency management, public health staff. Everyone's really pitching in and making those a success. So can't say thank you enough to everyone.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks again, Krista.
Golf clap for Bob.
No, stop it.
Any other comments? With an eye, we're adjourned.
All right.
We are adjourned.